Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Church. We are just thrilled to be with you today and thrilled to be able to have the technology to do this. We just talked about Glorious Day, or sang about Glorious Day, or I did, I tried to. And, you know, this morning, Pastor Don, he posted a picture that was just a beautiful picture. If you were able to see the sunrise this morning, it was just shining so brilliantly, and we were thrilled to see sunshine. I know I was. I'm sure you were too. But what the picture was, the sunshine that was showing at the end of the road, and it just reminds us that there is light at the end of the road. Our lives are different. They look different for everybody right now. And certainly ours are at the church, and yours are at home, wherever you're watching from today. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. So let's pray together. And if I would just ask you to pray with me right now. Father, thank you, God, so much for this glorious day that you've given us. Thank you so much for your light that guides our every step. I thank you, Lord, so much that we are able to worship you, that we are able to hear from you and to learn and grow wherever it is that we are connected today. We can still be connected to you because you're ever present. And you are in us as a believer. You're in our spirit. You're with us as one. So, God, thank you so much for all of this that you've given to us, for the blessing that it is in our lives. And, God, we pray that you are honored as we continue to worship you by opening your word, as we learn from you, and that you would change our hearts and our lives. And we'll thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here is Pastor Don.
Well, good morning to everyone. I hope you're doing well and you're enjoying your what they call a staycation at home. I know some of you are going crazy and you're trying to get out of the house, and we hope you do. It's a great time to follow through on your New Year's resolution of getting in shape by walking and pushing yourself away from the table and doing some fun activities. Last week when we did church, I got a whole lot of static about the service, and it all revolved around my coffee cup. Don't know why people don't like my choice of college team, so I didn't want to offend anybody today, but thought I would do a shout out to a local business. So for all of those of you who go to Mooville, I want to just encourage you to get your ice cream, get your milk there, and enjoy the petting zoo that they have and all of those things when you get a chance to do so. So for Eric and Heidi and Shiloh, we hope that you're watching, and for all the people there at Mooville, we thank you for working so hard in our community, helping to make a difference in people's lives and meeting the needs of people. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. We're wrapping up our series. It's been a 3-month series entitled Crossing Over. We've worked on this since January, just looking at my favorite book in the Old Testament, and in particular, my hero, if you will, from the Old Testament, a man by the name of Joshua. It's been a journey. It's been 500 years since God first told Abram that he was going to give him the promised land, and to Abram and his descendants. 500 years have gone by, and finally, Joshua brings the children of Israel into that land. And along the way, as we've studied this for 3 months, we've looked at their successes, we've looked at their failures, and there were some, just like in our lives. We looked at the heroes and the zeros, if you will, in the tribes of Israel. And we've also noted their battles and their various settlements, places where they settled down, and how they had to take over fortified cities, etc. And our key phrase throughout the book of Joshua has been simply moving from here to there. It's the idea of the children of Israel had to move from Egypt on a long journey and get to the promised land. Then they had to cross the Jordan. And we said that crossing the Jordan, for you and I as Christians, it speaks about entering into the potential and the promise that God has for us. In other words, leading a productive, healthy, impactful Christian life. So as we've looked at the life of Joshua, we've worked through a number of chapters, and now we want to just focus on some lessons that we can learn from the life of this great man. Life is a journey. Think about that. It's a river. It's not a pond. A pond is static. It's a river. It's ever flowing. And life brings changes to us. And sometimes they're dramatic changes. And sometimes they're changes we don't particularly like. And changes come on a regular basis. Life changes all of the time. So how do you deal with change? How do you reinvent yourself in your family? How do we as a church change as our culture changes? And someone has written these words. It says, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. You might want to write that down. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. What we learn from all the changes in life and how we adapt to those changes really is going to determine the quality of life that we live. But even more important than our life, how we react to the changes in our family situations, in our cultural situations, really is going to determine how well we as Christians impact the world around us. And that's exactly what Christ has asked us to do, is to be impact players, difference makers, people who will do something positive that will advance his kingdom. So this is what Joshua can teach us, how to adapt, how to handle the changes of life, how to be positive, how to conquer, how to reach our potential, and most of all, how to bring glory to God with our lives. So we're looking at changes and how we adapt to them and learning lessons from this great man. So if you think about looking behind you, looking back as you go down a road, as you drive forward, there's a lot of markers that you see behind you and places that you've passed that have memories and ways of connecting your forward progress with what you've learned from what you have just passed. So we're looking back today at lessons, simple lessons from Joshua's life that can help you and I live better today and for tomorrow. I'm a history buff. I love history. Here's what I've noted through many of the historical books that I've read. History tends to record the lives of three types of people. Three types of people. The first are the horrible people that have lived in our culture. You and I could just sit there with a pen and a piece of paper and write down the names of people who were horrible, who lived horribly, who treated others horribly, and have left a horrible legacy. But the second type of person that we can look at are the honorable people. People that have done great things, people made an impact, people who have changed our culture for the better. The third type of people are the half-wits. So you have the horrible, you have the honorable, and you have the half-wits. People who just did stupid things and caused a mess. And you and I probably, at some point in our life, have been part of all three of those. We get to determine the legacy we want to leave behind. When we think of Joshua, he is great. He is remembered. He's one of the honorable people that history has recorded. We remember him because of his great faith in God, tremendous faith. We also remember him because of his ferocious nature in battle. He would not give up. He's the type of guy that when I coach football, I would want on my team. I'd want him to play middle linebacker for me. Third thing we remember about Joshua was his fervent love for people. Now, did he get along with everybody all the time? No, and neither do you, and neither do I. But he genuinely loved people. At the core of his being, in spite of his humanness, he loved people. So his faith, his ferocious nature, and also the fact that he had a fervent love for those in his tribe called the Israelites. Now, when we come to the New Testament, some people never bother to read the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are told that the things in the Old Testament were written for our benefit, that you and I can learn from them, that they can make us a better person. For example, I'm going to read this verse to you and then have you, if you haven't done it already, turn to Joshua chapter 1, okay? In Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4, here are the writings of the Apostle Paul. for everything that was written in the past, everything written in the Old Testament was written to teach us. You can learn from history, and we can learn from the life of Joshua. They were written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, as we look at his life, consider his perseverance and his determination to overcome the situations that he faced. It says that we can gain encouragement from the Old Testament scriptures, from the examples of the people there. And the result would be that we might have hope. As we look at the life of Joshua and we close out this series, we want to have a sense of hope that will stir us on, but also encourage us for the future. So here's six lessons. Hopefully you were able to print your notes off. If not, you can just write down the keywords and look at the notes later. We're going to look at six lessons from our study in the life of Joshua today. Here's the first lesson. The first lesson is that we recognize, that's your first key word, that you recognize that God is the Lord in all things and at all times. Are you in Joshua chapter 1? Let's look at the very first verse. After the death of Moses, the great leader, the deliverer of the people of Israel, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid. He was the next guy up. We always in the sports world talk about the guys on the who aren't starting, who are on the bench. You're one play away from being the next star. With Moses, it wasn't one play away, it was one heartbeat away. And when Moses passed away, Joshua was chosen, and the Lord came to him and spoke to him. Now here's some things, some observations from verse 1. The word Lord is used here, but throughout the book of Joshua, it's used 170 times at least. The word conveys the idea of one who is eternal, one who is a creator, who is all powerful, somebody who has absolute sovereign rule. And that person is the one who came to Joshua. In our language, when we think of the word Lord, you and I as Americans, we are kind of past that whole Lord thing after the revolution in our break from the British Empire. In our language, the word Lord, you could understand it this way. God is the one who did the startup launch. Okay, that's a business term. Okay? He, the Lord, is the developer. He is the manager. He is the owner. He's the CEO. He's the president. And you and I have all heard a term very similar to this. He's the glue that holds everything together. That's the Lord. This Lord came to Joshua, and he wants Joshua to know that he's in charge, not Joshua. He is. And when we look through the book of Joshua, and we see this in verse 1, this Lord, this God, can be known by you and I. He is personal. He's aware of us, and he's aware of our situation. He loves us, and he wants to have a personal relationship with each of us. Now, if you think about it, this Lord is God, but everybody on planet Earth has a God. It may not be the living God, the one true God of the Bible, but to have a God with a little g, you say, what does that mean? The God in our life is someone or something to which we devote our time, our talents, and our treasures. He's the one that we think about. He's the one that controls our decision-making, whether we're aware of it or not. Our whole lives are focused on whatever that thing is that is God to us. It's the most important thing of our life. It could be your job, could be your 401k, could be your kids, could be your grandkids, could be your own image in a mirror. It could be your place in society. We all have something that rules our life. This God of the Bible, the Lord, the sovereign, the creator, loves us, wants to know us. And the thing you've got to ask yourself, especially as we work through the tough times that we're in, the God that you have in your life, is it bigger than the problems that you currently are facing. Because your little gods crumble. They're not able to help you. It would be like if I had my coffee cup here and I was worshiping this cup. Is this cup going to help me when I'm ill? Is it going to help me if I lose my job? Is my God going to help me to have a sense of love and appreciation for others? Whatever is your God is revealed during the tough times. Here's a second lesson. Not only are you and I to recognize that God is the Lord of all, but number two, we're to rely, that's the key word, rely upon God's nature and priorities. This God who is a loving God, the creator of all that there is, we're to rely upon him. This is the theme that's introduced in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Would you look at that? It's a theme introduced there, but then it carries throughout all 24 chapters of Joshua, that we are to rely upon God, his nature, who he is, and the things that this God, this loving God, has promised to us. Once we recognize who God is, we have a choice. You either run from this God and you run fast or you run slow. You're either interested or you're indifferent. You either run from God or you rely upon him. So as you think of God today, what's your status with him? Do you rely upon him? In Joshua 1:5, it says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a God who we can rely upon. Everything in life changes. Our entire culture has changed. But we can rely upon God because of who, the type of God he is and his promises. Joshua understood his own weaknesses. He understood the randomness and the uncertainty of life, as you and I have experienced over the last month or so. But he also understood the brevity of his own existence. Yesterday, a good friend of mine, a guy who off and on over the last 25 years I've had coffee with in the local restaurant downtown, Shirley's, a man by the name of Ernie Rice, passed away. He's a friend of mine. 25 years, that fast in terms of my relationship with him. Life changes. Sometimes we don't like it, but you can't hold on to it because it does slip through our fingers. Because of this, Joshua entrusted his life to his God, to this Lord. If you don't know God today as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to go to our website when this broadcast is all over, gc3.org. It's gc3.org. That's Grace Church of Nashville, Michigan. And you can learn how to start a relationship with this God who loves you so much. You simply, as you open it up, you will see a tab there called Next Steps. And as you click on that, a scroll will come down. And one of the first things you see is how to start a relationship with Jesus. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, especially in these difficult times, especially in the fact, in light of the fact that eternity happens for all of us, I would encourage you to do that. gc3.org, Grace Church. Go to Next Steps. Click on that tab and then look for where it says Start with Jesus. A third lesson that you and I can learn from this great man, Joshua, is the need to recommit. That's our key word, recommit to obeying God's word no matter what. Recommit to obeying God's word no matter what. And we're in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. So if you would look at that. With his promises, God would often remind Joshua to obey him. He would promise him, hey, dude, I'm with you, but you've got to stay in my word. You see in Joshua 1:8, it says this, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. In all that Joshua would think and say and do, he was to keep God and his word, his promises, his character, his laws in the forefront of his thinking. Now, you got to ask yourself, why would God have to remind Joshua of this fact? Well, ask yourself, why do you remind people of certain things? Haven't we heard this? It's like, wash your hands for how long? Okay, y'all know the answer. We've heard it a gazillion times. Social what? Yeah, you know how that ends. Okay, we are constantly reminded. Every day we see signs, we hear it on the radio. We are watching this in our news reports. It's on the internet. Wash your hands, 20 seconds. Social, yep, you got it. Distancing. Why do we have to remind people? Shouldn't we just say something one time? Well, apparently not. There's a whole bunch of people that were down in Florida for spring break by the thousands frolicking on the beaches, not caring at all if they were to contract this virus. So, and then turn around, they fly home so they can impart it to everyone else. Why do we have to remind people not to be stupid and not to do stupid things? Because we're human. Some people are flat arrogant. They're going to hear something, say it doesn't apply to me, or they're just going to disregard it. Others, and I would throw myself into both camps, sometimes I'm arrogant, but also I'm very, very forgetful. Okay? We just get caught up in our own life and the things that we're doing, and we forget certain things. And sometimes, let's be honest, we just don't feel God's word applies to us, or maybe that it's not important. Think about it. This is this coffee cup here I'm drinking from. Let's imagine it's a can of pop. Here in Michigan, we call it pop. We don't call it soda. It's a can of pop. And let's say that, what kind of pop is it? It's a Coke. We're going to pretend it's a Coke. And you take that Coke and you look at it and you start doing this. You start shaking it up. And then you pop the top. What is going to happen? What's going to come out of that can of Coke? Ginger ale, right? Sprite? Mountain Dew? No, Coke will come out of it. And how will that come out? It will explode. You see, because whatever is put into that can, when it's agitated, it will come out. Same principle for your life and mine. Whatever we spend our time ingesting, putting into our life in terms of things we hear, the things we see, our experiences of what we do, whatever is in our life, when we reach that point of agitation, when our life is shaken up, and hello, our culture has really done that to a good many of us. Whatever is in us is going to just gush out of us. It could be negativity, depression, anger, or it could be godliness. This is why we have to recommit to obeying God's word no matter what. The more you fill yourself with God's word through your reading, through listening to it, through talking about it, through typing it out, when your life reaches dangerous points, dangerous times, when you get upset, when life doesn't go your way, godliness should come out of you in your speech, in your thoughts, and in your actions. A lot of people, and myself included, we put Facebook memes on with cute little sayings, and that is all well and good. But a few occasional memes that you write or you copy and paste are not what you need in our current situation. You need God's word to be the foundation of your life. We need to recommit to obeying God's word no matter what. Why? Because sometimes we've forgotten. Sometimes we become arrogant. Look at lesson four. We need to remember, key word is remember, that God has a plan and we are all part of it. And that is really good to know at times like this. God is in control. He has a plan for our life, plan for our culture, and we are part of it. We can take some joy in the fact that he wants to use us, even in the midst of the crazy world we live in. Joshua 1, are you there? Joshua chapter 1, God is speaking to his servant. He's speaking to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's not good news. It's never good news when our culture changes. Moses has been there for a long period of time. Joshua was second in command. All of a sudden, he gets a notice, dude, you're wearing the big boots today. Okay? Moses is dead. Life changes. And sometimes you and I are thrust into a situation we didn't necessarily ask for. We didn't think it was going to happen today, but yet here it is. It goes on. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you. Don't you just love it when somebody points their finger at you and says, you? Our first response is this. We look over both shoulders and then we go, yeah, God is saying, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. Think about it. Joshua's never been there before. He's sort of like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. He walks out of the house and it's a whole new world. Folks, our world has changed and it will never go back to the way that it was. It'll be similar, but it's going to be radically different. You, God has a plan for you. And that plan is always bigger than you. The plan is not about you. It's about using you as one of the little cogs. And we hate to hear this, the cogs in God's plan for the world. We're one of the people that are going to help bring about his plan. It's not all about you, but he's going to use you to bring about his plan. Think about this. God took 60 years to prepare Joshua for this moment. 60 years. I just turned 69 last week. I know. I look like I'm 30. I totally get that. But I, in my lifetime, have never experienced anything like what we're currently going through. Call it a global pandemic. I call it a global opportunity. Okay? Never in 69 years have I seen anything like this. And all of a sudden, here it is. And I realize God wants to use me. It's not all about Don, but I get to play a part in whatever he wants to accomplish. For 20 years, Joshua was a worker slave in Egypt. 40 years, he was a wanderer underneath Moses' leadership out in the wilderness. 60 years preparation, and get this, he lived another 50 years. And he became a warrior in the promised land. You see, God prepares you up to this moment for the next step. Do you get that? Everything that's happened in your life up to the last month has been to get you ready to live well during this month. And it's not if all we do is hunker down and say, woe is me, and eat our stash of Twinkies that we've got, you know, because they have no shelf life. If that's all we do, we miss on the opportunity that God wants to use us, and he's using this situation that we're currently enduring for something bigger in the future. Not necessarily worse, something bigger. He's using this as an opportunity for you and I to serve him, just as Joshua did, to lead others towards where God wants them to be. God uses our current here to prepare us for his there. Do you catch that? He uses our here, where you are in life right now, to prepare you for his there. God always has a broader picture, bigger picture in mind than your current situation. His plan requires our faithfulness now for his fruitfulness later. Our faithfulness when? Right now, in the midst of the situation, for his fruitfulness later. Now I ask you, look at your life. I all the time tell our church, look in the mirror. Last month, the last couple weeks, as you look at your life, have you been a whiner? Have you been a wimp? Have you been a worshiper of God? How have you responded? Look at who you are and how you've been acted, and consider the fact that God has a plan in the near future and the distant future to use you. So are you learning the lessons he wants you to learn? Are you using the little opportunities now to be with family, to pray more, to read more, to text more, to share Christ more? Are you using them because he's got something he wants to use you for in the future? Here's our fifth lesson. Key word is reach. Got that? Fifth lesson. Reach out. Touch the water's edge. God is waiting on the other side. Can you picture that? Standing there with the river, reach out, stick your toe in, touch the water's edge. God is waiting on the other side. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 3, so if you would turn there right now. Reach out, stick your toe in. The Israelites have been quarantined, think about this, in Egypt for about 400 years. You think you're going nuts because you've been in the house for what, a couple weeks? Try being quarantined, not just in your house where you have your Keurig coffee maker, where you have an endless supply of movies to watch, where you have board games, where you have a computer, an iPad, and a phone where you can text people who are your neighbors. You've been there 2 weeks. The Israelites had been slaves for 400 years. Talk about being quarantined or isolated. They wanted to get out a lot more than you and I want to get out of our houses. And then they come out of the promised land and they've got a bit of an attitude, and now they're quarantined or isolated for 40 years in the wilderness. And you're still feeling bad about you? It just goes to show how selfish sometimes we are and how self-absorbed. We think our existence is terrible. Here's what I want to tell you. Move to India. You think you got it rough here in America? Move to India. In a similar way, God wants you and I to move forward in our life. He wants us to reach out, not be in isolation. Some of us are in self-imposed quarantine. We're just miserable and we're wretched. Oh, I can't live without people. Yes, you can. And you can live without the best of circumstances. You can live and make the best out of what God's provided for you at this moment. Why? Because he's got something bigger. He's got something better for you. The Israelites were fearful. They were hesitant, just like you and I are. But in Joshua 3, verse 15 and 16, I'm going to read just parts of those verses. God says to Joshua, and he uses these words, as soon as they're, meaning the priest, as soon as the priest's feet touch the water's edge, can you picture that? The water upstream stopped flowing. God said, I'm going to lead you to the promised land. I'm going to part the water. Priest, you go first. Lead the people. As soon as their feet touched the water, then the miracle happened. The fear of the unknown, the idea of change, especially difficult change, the idea of listening to flood waters all around us and seeing waters at flood stage, and the prospect of facing a world that we don't know anything about yet, can affect you mentally, can affect you emotionally, which ultimately will affect you spiritually and defeat you. Notice, God did not part the Jordan as they approached the river, and he did not part the Jordan as they camped on its edges. God only worked for them when they were willing by faith to stick their toes in the water. That is when God got up. He says, all right, my people are going to be obedient. Time to roll my sleeves up and come to their rescue. You want God to act? Live by faith. Whatever God's telling you to do, do it. That is what motivates God. When you play it safe, you never experience the reality of God. I'm glad that God didn't tell them, hey, y'all, you haven't been in any water in a long time because you've been out here in the wilderness for a long period of time. I want you to do a belly smacker out there in the middle of the Jordan. He didn't tell them to jump in 100%. He just said, take a step of faith. And when you do a step of faith, God rolls up his sleeves. Here's our last lesson for the day. Resist. That's your key word. Resist. And go to Joshua 24, verse 20. Last chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 20. Says, resist the urge to settle for less than what God has for you. That's very common for all of us. We read the Bible, we see what God wants us to be, we see what he wants us to do, and we stop short. Children of Israel were the same way. That's the way we are as humans. We want the easy way out. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to serve. We don't want to have faith cost us anything. And the children of Israel had to move forward. So do you in your life. Joshua 24, 20. Joshua gives them a final closing as he's about ready to die. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, little g, serve coffee cups, serve your 401, serve your living room and play it safe. If you serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you. And I have to wonder, why in this time period has God brought what has allowed this situation globally? Maybe the church, of which you are part, has been too comfortable. Maybe we've been living disobediently. Maybe we've been worshiping little gods rather than the one true God. He said, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. I hear a lot of whining going on, both from people who call themselves Christians, but also from others who don't know God. A lot of whining. Why aren't we grateful for all the good God's done for us? It's been 100 years since the world's faced anything like this. Maybe we should be more grateful for God's blessings. The tendency of the Israelites in us is to be complacent. It's to grow comfortable. It's to compromise. It's to let our hearts grow callous. And really what God wants us to do is to stay faithful to him. Don't know what you've gotten from the book of Joshua, but if we look back, we'll see a lot of lessons, and those are just six that stood out to me this week. He wants us to cross over, and that means that we have to have a willingness to move from here, where we are, to his there. By our faithfulness, we will experience his fruitfulness. In order to do so, folks, it's going to require effort. It's going to require some sacrifice, and for some of us, some suffering. But that's what it means to be a Christian, that God is with us. When we are willing to move with him, we realize his purpose. We reach our God-given potential, and we'll rise above our problems. As a way of wrapping up our series, we've put a video that summarizes the book of Joshua into our notes. Lisa will be talking about that in just a moment. If you haven't caught all of our Joshua series, if you watch this video, especially good to watch with your children of any age, they will be able to catch the gist of what this book is about. Hey, I love this. This is my favorite book. You want to know me a little bit better? This is giving you 3 months to know what stirs my heart. Joshua walked with God. I encourage you to do so. As we do, God will work in us, through us, and alongside of us. And that's the best place that you can be. So let me pray for you, and then I'm going to have Lisa give you a few announcements. All right? Hey, Father, we love you. We thank you that you are the Lord, that you are our God, that you care about us, that you want to nudge us forward, that you want to walk beside us through the rivers, through the floods of life, through the tough times, knowing that you have something bigger for us, something better for us, that you want to use our life to help make a difference in the lives of others. So may we be faithful. And as we're faithful, may you help us to be fruitful. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Lisa?
You're just going to be able to hear me because I want to just remind you that the link for this video is in the YouVersion notes. That would be there already, and then we can post that also in the comments of this video when we're done with it, okay? One thing that we can't do while we are meeting virtually is we can't have the containers for offering at the end of the service for you to go out. So if you would like to make a donation to the church, if you're part of this church family and you want to continue to give your tithes and any offerings that you want to give, you can visit this site right here, gc3.org/giving, and that will take you to the page that you need to go to give online. I know that several of you have already done that, and we really appreciate that. But this is just a reminder. You can also mail your tithe envelope if you would like to the church. It's 8950 East M79 Highway, and you can look that up on our website as well if you need to look up the church address. Then finally, I want to remind you things that are going on this week. This week, we have emails that go out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you do not already receive those emails, you can go to the website, again, gc3.org, and you on the right on the homepage, there's a place for you to contact us to make sure you're included in those emails. Since the news is changing every day, we are sending out more news than usual. And so that is available there. So that's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then on Wednesdays at 1, we have a devotional. The Pastor Don's doing a devotional at 1 o'clock on Facebook Live. That recording is available right directly after. And then likewise on Fridays at 5 o'clock p.m., we are doing also a devotional and then adding any announcements that we have to catch you up for the week. So that's what I have. The only other thing is for the people who are were planning on going to the Israel 2020 trip, this would be our last meeting today that we were going to meet together. So we're going to meet virtually. So don't forget about that. In a few minutes, we'll go ahead and do that on the group. Okay. I'll be doing Facebook Live to that group. Okay. So that's just a reminder to those few people. That is what I have.
Okay. And I just want to remind you at the end of the notes, there's an application and discussion session with four questions. If you've got a group you're meeting with, great. If you just you and your family, but this allows you to process some of what the message was about today. And I want to remind you, we begin a new series next Sunday. It's called Looking Back. We're going to look at the story of Easter, and we're going to look at four physical locations, one each week, and try to draw some lessons from that for our life to get a different perspective on what we know about Easter. Sometimes you hear a story so many times, you think you know all the details. So we're going to revisit the Easter story. We're going to look at the tomb. We're going to look at a boat. We're going to look at a mountain. We're just going to have some fun relearning the Easter story. So we're excited about what we're going to be doing next week, and we hope that this has been encouragement for you. I'm not sure of any technical difficulties. Hey, as new as it is for you to sit there and watch, it's just as new for us. We're going crazy trying to figure stuff out, but it's been fun and stretching us. So, hey, God bless you. See ya.